It's 8:36 on this Tuesday morning, first day of February here on FLX Morning. It's time to get healthy with our friends from Finger Lakes Health. We have a full boat of guests joining us here this morning. First, I want to bring in Kim Alakwa in for Laura Turbide this morning. Kim, nice to see you. How are you?
Good, Paul. How are you?
And Kim, if you want to introduce us to our guests for today and tell us what our topic of conversation is going to be.
Sure. I'm very excited to have Maureen Loyal here. She is our Director of Rehab Services. She's also a Doctor of Physical Therapy. And we have Jim Modera, who is one of our physical therapists, and he is a Doctor of Physical Therapy. So they're going to be talking about the rehab services that we offer at Finger Lakes Health, as well as some ideas for some heart-healthy activities you can do for Heart Month.
All right, fantastic. Maureen, I'll start with you. How long have you been part of the Finger Lakes Health family?
I'm coming on 7 years this year. William Smith grad, love the area, so had to come work for them.
And Jim, you're kind of the newest member of the family, so to speak.
Yes, I am.
But you've been around the area for a good long time.
Yes, I have 33, well, I shouldn't probably give out numbers like that.
That's okay. It's experience. It's
33 all good. Months, yeah.
There you go. Yep. There you go. Absolutely. And Jim, I know prior to joining Finger Lakes Health, you've spent a lot of time working with student athletes in area mm-hmm. high schools.
Yes. I used to practice my own private clinic, and I started the sideline sports medicine program at Geneva High, and happy to turn it over to Finger Lakes Health. They really expanded what I started.
Fantastic. So Maureen, let's come back to you and kind of give a general overview of what we're talking about when we're talking about rehabilitation services. Probably the first thing people think of is physical therapy, because that's the obvious one, but there's more to it than that.
Yep. Even in physical therapy, there's a lot more to it, because people think of orthopedic injuries, back pain, knee, hip, but we also provide pelvic floor health for folks who suffer from urinary incontinence. We cover concussion care. We have a regional expert in Tom Del Papa, who goes to all our outpatient sites to see folks who might have suffered a concussion and having prolonged symptoms. And we also have occupational therapy, which helps folks on their ADLs and performing those tasks, and also for fine hand therapy, as well as speech therapy. We're the only sites in the area, our three outpatient sites, that can provide PT, OT, and speech for anybody who had a neurological injury, a stroke, or a brain injury. So one-stop shopping for them.
And I'm glad you mentioned concussions, because people associate that most often as an athletic injury, like football players or maybe hockey players. But you can get a concussion in an auto accident, sometimes a workplace related incident, even falling on the sidewalk can cause a concussion. So it has far reaching effects outside of the athletic spectrum.
Yep. And all different age ranges too. You know, we've had 8-year-olds all the way up to senior citizens.
Yeah. One of my Facebook friends, as a matter of fact, posted last week, a 6-year-old. He's like, oh, I had his first concussion at age 6. And you think, oh my God, but that's actually probably a lot more common than people think. And Jim, you've been dealing with a lot of that kind of stuff over the years.
Well, what's interesting is even when I was, quote, competition with Finger Lakes Health, when I own my practice, a family member of mine sustained actually a series of concussions. And I referred her to Tom Del Papa, because he's literally the best between Rochester and Syracuse. That's his thing, and he took real good care of him. And that's kind of how we met, I think, around that time.
Yep. And it's great, too, because Finger Lakes Health also provides athletic training services. So we have the contract with Geneva High School, Minders Academy, and Penn Yan Academy, and Dundee High School, so that our athletic trainers can work closely with our therapists, right, to complement their rehab and get these student-athletes back on the field, whether it's an orthopedic injury or a concussion.
Now, let's kind of branch things out here a little bit. We've talked a little about the more commonplace physical injuries, but you also mentioned things like PTO and speech that are also part of a rehab program.
Yep, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech. So if someone suffers a brain injury or stroke, there's a cognitive component. They might have memory issues. They might have processing issues on how to do a task. So our team can really work together and provide a continuum of care that kind of works on those issues all throughout the other therapies. So if they have speech and they have a sequencing problem, they'll work on tasks there, then they hand off to the OT, who will have them perform ADL tasks doing the sequencing, and then go over to PT, who will do sequencing and walking and steps and maybe place items around the clinic so that they have to, you know, for memory issues, how many items are out there, what are we looking for, so that we could really get that folks, you know, a more independent lifestyle and have their family and caregivers have an easier go at it as well.
We're having a conversation with Maureen Loyal, who is not only a doctor of physical therapy, but also the director of rehab services and cardiac rehab for Finger Lakes Health, and Jim Madeira, who is also a doctor of physical therapy, who has joined in with the Finger Lakes Health family. Since this is Heart Health Month, let's focus on that a little bit for a minute. First off, Maureen, what is cardiac rehabilitation and what's involved in that?
Cardiac rehabilitation is for folks who have had either a heart attack, had stents put in, or congestive heart failure, where they can come in and they are monitored the entire exercise session with a heart monitor to see how their heart's responding after, you know, a surgical procedure or after a cardiac event, to make sure that we're getting these people back into a healthy lifestyle. We'll educate them on food and nutrition, we'll educate them on activity levels, and we're also monitoring their heart and their medications to make sure that they have a safe return and not have a repeat of the event.
And it might be a gross overgeneralization statement, but this kind of rehab, if you've had either a cardiac event or you've had some kind of cardiac surgery, is really critical.
It is so important. You know, we've had many patients throughout the years, it's a long-standing program, who have returned back to flying even, you know, being able to fly an airplane, to back to bicycling or taking care of their grandchildren. It's really crucial, because some folks had been healthy their whole entire life. This is their first time they ever have a medical event. It's quite overwhelming, can be depressing. We address all those issues and really build up confidence for them to have a healthy, long-lasting life after that event.
And that's a key there that you mentioned, because it's not just the physical component of maintaining the healthy lifestyle and the diet, but there's also the emotional and the mental component that factors into it.
And that factors in all of our rehab services, you know, because, you know, like I said, some folks, this is the first time they've ever suffered an injury, an illness, and how we can mentally support them so that they do have a successful outcome.
Now, since it's Heart Health Month, what can people do in terms of just going about their daily routines, in terms of maybe exercise and diet modifications, to minimize the risk of either having to go in and having a stent put in, or worse yet, having some type of cardiac event?
Healthy diet, but exercise is so key. You know, YouTube can help you learn how to take your own heart rate safely. You want to exercise. My mother used to go for walks, and I tease her, because I'm like, you have to get your heart rate going. You can't just look in the windows and walk slowly around town. You have to try to get a target heart rate. So you can figure out your maximum heart rate, like 220 minus your age. You shouldn't go above that heart rate. Whatever that figure comes out to be. There's calculators online for that. You want to work between the 50 to 80% of that number to really get benefits for heart health. And all these figures could be found out online, you know, to figure out your personal numbers. And you want to sustain that for like 20 minutes. If you have a hard time doing your own heart rate, you want to exercise where you feel like it's somewhat hard. If you would describe it as somewhat hard, for like a good 15 to 20 minutes a day, and then you know that you're taxing your heart enough to have the benefits of a healthy heart.
And Jim, not everybody has the ability to go to a gym and sit there looking at their Apple Watch monitor or something like that. But there are ways that you can incorporate things into your day-to-day activities that are falling along the lines that Maureen's talking about.
Well, with the advent of these smart watches, it's nice to be able to monitor your heart rate and things of this nature as you go throughout daily tasks. One of the things that I'd speak about, like when I was on the radio before, this time of year was shoveling.
Mm.
You do have to watch shoveling if you are susceptible to a cardiac event or had one. When you shovel, you want to try not to lift the snow, especially if it's heavy, and twist and throw, because people may not know that if you're engaging in exercise with a cardiac condition, it's better to start working with your legs, going for walks, versus upper body workouts tend to test the heart more than working your lower extremities, working your legs. So if you're shoveling snow, try not to lift it. Try to push it and then lean the shovel if you're at risk.
And how important is, especially after a cardiac event or a surgery, how important is improving your blood circulation?
That was very key. Like Jim said, if you do upper extremity, the restriction of your blood flow to your lower extremity increases, so that affects your blood pressure and makes the heart work harder. So it's real important to, you know, mobilize and keep moving so that your circulation's smoother and less resistive to your heart.
What about dietary modifications? What do both of you generally recommend as a starting point for people?
Limit your salt intake. That's the biggest one. Salt, eat your, you know, vegetables, low carbs, try to, you know, get lean proteins.
And sugar. Yep. Try to, you know, if you watch your salt, watch your sugar intake. Sugar causes inflammation, which can affect plaque formation on your blood vessels. And I personally, recently, I've been going with intermittent fasting based upon my doctor's recommendations.
Okay.
This is not a medical recommendation for everybody out
right,
there.
Right.
But it's basically you choose a time of day to eat, and you just eat within that those parameters. Of course, you try to eat healthy, but I found that it has helped me to not binge eat. You know, you don't want to eat at night before you go to bed when your body isn't going to be burning the calories, and this seems to work better. I have more energy.
And before we get back into recapping some of the rehab services, is there an ideal time to exercise before or after you eat? That's a common thing I hear from a lot of people, is that they're not sure about that. Is there kind of a golden window, if you will?
Definitely not right before or right after, because your gut wants some of the attention to mm-hmm. digest. So, you know, what they always say, an hour to 2 hours before or after, I would think would be sufficient.
Yeah, the course I took on sports nutrition, they talked about your recovery meal, and they said a good recovery meal is actually chocolate milk. It gives you want some sugar, some salts, some fats, and this sports nutritionist said drinking chocolate milk after your workout helps to replenish the immediate loss from sports activity.
See, you used to love it when you were a kid, and now you can have it as an adult. But there's an important condition involved there, which is the exercise beforehand. Do the work, then give yourself the reward. Going back to the rehabilitation services, how do people go about finding out more information about what is offered at the rehab center? And where are the rehab centers here in the Finger Lakes? I believe we have one in Waterloo. Is that
yep.
the central one?
Jim works out of the Waterloo site, so that's right near Taylor Brown in a old physician practice office for Dr. Worth, was used to be over in that location. We have another practice here in Geneva at Garnsey Rehab, which is located in the back of the hospital. And we also have a site in Penyan that is located on the main level of Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hospital. So easy access for anybody. There's no curbs. You know, just pull right up and walk right in for anybody who has a disability, easy parking. And we do some direct access if so that you don't need a script for the first initial visits. You know, you can come in, make an appointment with us. The information is on the Finger Lakes Health website for under rehab services that can give you all the contact information.
All right. Well, Jim, welcome to the family, and glad to see you continuing to do your mm-hmm. good work in the area within the Finger Lakes Health family. Maureen, thank you so much for imparting the information here this morning. And Kim, thank you for being here as well. Much appreciated.
So. Thanks for having us.